CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes. Excellent, excellent. All right, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Here we are, we're live. Here's Leanne Mole. Here's me, here's you. The whole shebang. How you doing, ass?
We can't hear you, you're on mute. You're mute.
Try now.
What a start.
What does that mean? What?
What a start to the week.
Oh, really?
Being on mute.
Did you, oh, right. I thought there was something else going on, something even worse. That's the worst, is the mute?
No, look, I'm house sitting.
Oh, so you're not sitting. You're not in your house?
No. I'll give you a quick
tour.
Doggy.
What dog is that?
A cock.
I'm sorry? I beg your pardon? A cock. Okay. All right. You really are looking after the interesting dogs these days. Okay.
And yes, I had alarm issues in the middle of the night.
Oh,
so,
shit.
You know, when you get up to wee and then you haven't set it properly and then security are ringing the bell and you still haven't weed. Oh.
God. Sounds horrible.
Yes, just growing pains first night. So Everything should be good from here on out.
Okay, well, I have a present for you. Someone gave to me. I love cats. A little notebook, which I'll give to you when I see you.
Oh, look at that! Yeah.
It's been sitting here for the last 3 days.
Well, I'm so glad you're feeling so sentimental about it.
I know, isn't that terrific? It's exactly what you've always wanted, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, how was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good. Well, you know, it was my birthday week. And so I had a family thing on my birthday, which was on the Wednesday, I think. And remember, it's my mom's birthday too, so we do a whole family thing.
Yep.
And then went for lunch at a really lovely restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Pork and cheese.
Pork and cheese
restaurant.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it was, they just served pork and cheese. That's all you got.
really top-notch Portuguese food. It was absolutely stunning.
Okay.
And obviously the lunch grew into drinks later.
Yes.
And here I am still recovering.
Yes, very, very good. I had a lovely Saturday. I went out with, I think there were 18 of us at the end. There were 18 of us who booked a table at Ground in Muldersdrift, which is run by two of my friends. And they organized this big, like, wine tasting lunch day, which was such a beautiful day, actually. All things considered, It was beautiful because even though it's the middle of winter, technically, actually, the middle of winter is coming up in like a week and a half. And then we'll be at the dead center of winter, and then it should get warmer from there. Technically, of course, it doesn't. It usually stays a little bit cold until at least September. But they had this really, really cool wine day where, there are a bunch of different wines. This was from Babylon's Turin in the Cape, obviously in the Cape near Paarl, which is the most magnificent estate, I'm told. I've never been.
So
everybody
beautiful.
Tells me. They tell me the gardens there are something to behold.
My word.
So
absolutely stunning.
They put together this really unbelievable menu. And you know, I was there with this huge group of friends, and we had the most wonderful day. So it was all in all a really cool weekend. Oh, so all things
very
being equal,
good.
Excellent.
Yes, we are hashtag blessed with the weather thus far.
Hashtag blessed. I love that. That's hugely important. If you aren't hashtag blessed, you're hashtag cursed. Right? So,
correct.
A lot of people complaining already. Marco says, good morning. Cape Town is freezing this morning. Well, I'm fairly sure all over.
Coming then.
I'm fairly sure all over. Yeah, I mean, if it's cold in Cape Town, though, that means the rest of us are screwed. Do you know what else means we're screwed?
Yeah.
Bitcoin has dropped to $25,587 this morning. It is in the toilet.
What was the highest it was at, for reference?
Oh, God. It was about $60,000 at a really at a point last year. So, it's so goddamn depressing. You know, you're trying here to be optimistic about things. And I do believe ultimately in cryptocurrency. I really do. I believe in it primarily because I don't believe in governments. And when this happens to the Bitcoin price, it really fucks my argument up. Because what it means is I'm going to be sitting there going, no, but it's going to come back. It's going to rally. And the people are like, yeah, sure, you are a true believing idiot. You know, so that's annoying. And it all started happening, I think, on Saturday morning. It all started tanking really badly. So I'm just trying to remain optimistic about that. But other than that, all things are good. All things are good. Back to a brand new week. And by the way, this week, you have the great fortune of having Thursday off. Thursday's a public holiday. So.
Oh, right.
Yeah. 16 June, Youth Day. So get ready for that. Yeah.
Which, even if you're not a youth, you can still celebrate it with with a smile on your face.
Yeah. They welcome old people to celebrate Youth Day as well.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So you're not
alone. Boomers.
Correct.
Gen X. All welcome.
So we've got Collectomania today. We've got Dr. Hanan joining us as usual. It's going to be a nice, busy Monday. We've got lots of cool things to talk about. President Ramaphosa is not having the best time either. We'll talk about him in a short while. And plenty more. So stick around. Collectomania this morning, we're going to be talking about Maps Maponyane's hats. So Maps Maponyane has been quite public about his collection of hats, and he's going to show us those today, which is going to be lots and lots of fun. So stick around for all of that.
Does it rival Jen Su's collection?
Well, it's so funny. Jen Su, of all people, sent me a video over the weekend. She was in New York City having lunch with my business partner, Rena. And the two of them were, and you know, hi, Garrett. You know, Jen, she's always the she's always the happiest person in the room. And she sent me this video of her sitting in some very fancy New York restaurant. And the weather there has just been amazing. In fact, I got updates from Reno of a Puerto Rican parade. You know, every weekend in New York, there's something going on, right? Doesn't matter what date it is. There's always something happening. And this was a Puerto Rican carnival, like a Puerto Rican parade, I suppose you could call it. It is a parade. Oh, and just lots and lots of people just doing cool things and floats going by and music and all that kind of cool stuff. So never a dull day in New York. So interesting you bring up Jen. She was in communication with me on Friday. And I don't know about whether Mups' hat collection is anything like Jen's, but I'm absolutely sure it'll be huge because he's been collecting these hats for a long, long time. Plus, it'll be nice to have Mups on. We haven't spoken to him in ages. So be good to catch up with him and check in with him. All right. Tashlejo says what a lot of people are feeling. When is payday? It's only the 13th. No, man. I wonder who must I sleep with to be rich. Dumelang. Yeah. All of that. Spot on. Yeah. All right. And then Ruth says, I've tried to be clever and take the Friday off too. I warned colleagues in advance, but I'm first on the train. Yeah. We're going to be doing the show on Friday, right? So you've got to have some discipline about this. I'm going to do Friday's show, so we will be live on Friday morning. But
it sounds like you're trying to convince yourself.
I am. I hate public holidays. If I have to work a public holiday, or if I think it's a day where most people won't be working, I'm always like, God, do we have to do this? Anyway, we will be. So for all those people who are working on Friday, we're with you. All right.
I mean, you've got to be grateful for a job like ours where you get up early in the morning, but then you know that there are other people who are up with you. You can tell from the comments and the interaction.
Right.
And before that, back in the day, the phone calls. We get your phone calls every day.
Yes.
But there's some people who get up and there it is just it's thankless. Then there's no one bearing witness to them getting up and working early in the morning.
That's true. And Tracy, I see in the comments, Tracy lives in Somerset West. They had terrible fires over the weekend. In fact, a lot of properties very, very badly affected, some destroyed completely. I'm not sure if there's any life that's been lost here, but it's still devastating stuff.
There was a lot of wildlife lost and pets are missing.
Oh,
man. Not good. Not good at all.
That's horrible. So I think, you know, Tracy, we're thinking about you and all the other people there who are in trouble because of the fires. She says, luckily the Rupert property one block away from us has a fire pool, but it was scary. 1 kilometer up the road from us, they had to evacuate. Pets are missing, etc. So grateful for the rain. Oy, oy, oy. Well, then,
oh,
yeah, rain is that's when you're like, oh, thank God. And Cape Town, at least in winter, Cape Town gets the rain. You know, it's a thing. So that's the one.
Yeah.
The one thing about it makes it a little bit better in Cape Town. I've seen 100% rain forecast for today and almost the same for the rest of the week in Cape Town. We really are lucky with our sunny days in Joburg. Well, yeah, but this is when Cape Town gets their rain. You know, they don't get it in the summer like we do.
Yeah, you kind of get everything, all of the stuff that ruins your beach day, you get in one season. Get it over and done with. And the rest is good.
Well, you lived there for a while.
Yeah. So winters are pretty tough there, I must say.
Also, not pleasant.
Depending on...
Not easy.
On which side of the mountains you're on.
Yeah.
I was on the side of the mountain where...
Mountain.
I mean, as it is in winter, the sun only rises late. But in my case, the sun was rising behind my mountain.
Oh, God.
So, and setting behind my mountain.
Oh, God. So it was very cold.
I only had a few hours of daylight, and the rest was like cold, misty, right at the sea, rainy, windy.
Yeah, shame.
But then it was over and done with.
And while we're talking about rain, you know, and moaning about it, frankly, in Cape Town, PE needs it so desperately at the moment. They are desperate for rain there. The dams are empty again. It's a disaster. So somebody says Airlift South Africa has gone into liquidation also.
I saw that. I'm quite surprised.
Oh, no, no, no. Listen, we were speaking about this just last week with the news about Comair, just how running an airline is a fucking horrible business, especially when oil prices go up and there's nothing you can do. Ay, ay, ay. It's not a great place to be in terms of that particular business. And, of course, if you are booking flights at the moment, you have to be extra careful because they're being cancelled left, right, and center. It makes people very uncomfortable and very justifiably nervous, you know? So, now, Airlift South Africa, do we mean Lyft?
Yeah, I think so. That's
because,
what I thought.
Yeah, I know what Airlift is, but, you know, Migs is talking about Airlift South Africa went into liquidation. I don't know what, do you mean Lyft,
Lyft,
which is the brand new?
Yeah.
Because if that's them, Jesus Christ, then we've got two airlines left. There are only two left then, FlySaf Air and Airlink. Right?
I'll have a squiz on the Googles.
Yeah, check it out. I don't want to give false information here. so many animals were hurt and harmed in the fire. Paws, smoke inhalation, face burns, little steenbokkies, tortoises, etc. The leopard population on Lawrenceford is flourishing. I hope they're okay. Oy, oy, oy. Yeah, you see these fires. I mean, what can you do?
Also, I don't think you mean L-Y-F-T. It is L-I-F-T.
Is it? I'm pretty sure it was spelled with a Y, but okay. Okay. Well, we'll see.
The Lyft with a Y is I think it's a rideshare thing in the US.
Oh, all right.
Lyft Airline and News and...
What do they say?
I'm not seeing anything like that.
Well, then let's not spread false information, but suffice it to say that at the moment, it's a pretty tough time for airlines. That's all you need to know, right? This week, getting back into the swing of gym very seriously. I've got to get less fat during the course of the next few weeks. It's a decision.
Less fat.
Less fat. Much, much less fat. That's what's going to happen. Whether anybody else likes it or whether I like it or not, I intend on being less fat by the end of winter. And look, I've already started, but, you know, it's a process. PE is reached.
You're very good at it. You're very good with that. You do keep yourself in check.
I'm trying.
Every year, you know.
Kelly says PE has already reached day zero. It's so strange how you don't hear as much about it compared to when Cape Town is in dire straits. I think the local government is protecting themselves from scrutiny. They are shite. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Is it Semer? Is that the one that's out? Or must we not forget Semer? Semer, I think they only fly to PE, as far as I understand. But, all right, look, just stay away from booking flights at the moment, if you could possibly help it. Because I would say the only two that you can depend on at the moment are Air Link and Fly Sapphire. Those are the only two ones that are still in operation. Anyway, PE voted for smaller parties, and now that smaller parties are power hungry and this local government is a mess, nothing gets resolved here. I'm sorry, Ricky, that's a disaster. What can we say? I do have to tell you quickly about Leadership Books Unpacked, and we'll get back to PE in Cape Town in a second. The ability to work efficiently with others is more critical in today's fluid world than it has ever been. I don't think you'll argue with me on that one, right, Leanne? Leaders who can identify, hire, and cultivate employees who are humble, hungry, and smart will have a serious advantage over those who cannot. In this week's episode of Leadership Books Unpacked, Manda Tsufolaro and Ngobile Ngobo have unpacked The Ideal Team Player by Patrick Lencioni, which is a book that highlights the three critical values of an ideal team player. You can listen to Leadership Books Unpacked everywhere and wherever you get your podcasts. It's proudly sponsored by Hollard Life Solutions and by Superlead. Make sure you don't miss it. That is Leadership Books Unpacked. Get it onto your rotation. Yes. We all have a playlist of podcasts now. You need to make sure you're on there. All right. And by the way, we are always streaming, as we have been for the last couple of weeks, on Twitter, on Facebook, and on YouTube. So whichever one you prefer, you get on it and you can listen to us live. Apparently, Semer.
I didn't realize we were on Twitter.
Yeah, we're on Twitter as well. Semer apparently fly to most destinations. I didn't know that. Mm. Can't drive, can't fly, no trains. Maybe it's another conspiracy theory coming true. Well, yeah, you know, it does feel like all of this is going crazy. Guys, where is MKT? I miss him on the show. Well, Maestro, you really have woken up a bit late. Mbulelo hasn't been on the show for, what, 3-4 months now? So, yeah, and he's moving to Europe. So he's decided to call it quits in South Africa and move to Europe. So we'll get him on eventually. He just hasn't got anything to say at the moment. So as soon as he's got something to say, we'll get him back on the show. That's all. All right? What do you want me to say? Goldishik says, Lyft is definitely still flying. Okay, good.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's why I was kind of surprised when I thought, yeah.
Okay.
If anything, I know it's not a measure of success, so, you know, don't label me a fool, but they've got their social media right for an airline.
Lyft.
Wow. They're really, really good at it, especially TikTok. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good news. So apparently, speaking of Cape Town, like we were just a moment ago, apparently a drunk patient stole a paramedic vehicle at an accident scene in Cape Town. This could only happen in Cape Town. And it could only happen with a drunk person in Cape Town. What the hell's this?
Oh, my word. Yeah, it happened in Milnerton.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in Milnerton, Saturday night. Dee-dee-dee-da-dee-da-da-da.
What happened?
There was an accident. And apparently the person who'd had the accident appeared to be intoxicated. He actually flipped his car onto its roof.
Oh, wow.
On the R27 at Sunset Beach. The car rolled onto its roof.
Jesus.
Blocked both lanes of traffic. So it's in like a really precarious position. And so basically what the cops do when they arrive, or the paramedics, for scene safety, they leave the lights of the vehicle on to warn motorists of a rolled vehicle on the road.
Right.
So the guy gets out. He's assessed by the medic. Then he's questioned by the police on the scene. So everyone's there, right?
Yeah.
immediately after the questioning, he runs and jumps into the paramedic vehicle, starts the car.
Good Lord.
Revs, flees the scene while the medic was at the rear, not in the vehicle. Oh. At first, I thought he was in the vehicle, standing at the back of the vehicle, flagging down oncoming traffic. So if you think about it now, this is in Milnerton. There was also armed response on the scene. So eventually, law enforcement agencies and the armed response on the scene immediately give chase. The high-speed chase ensues all the way from Milnerton to Kolk Bay.
that's a very long way.
That's very far. And then the quote that's here, it says, due to the brilliant teamwork of the Cape Town law enforcement, EMS community, SAPS, armed response company, so all of those people were involved, and the tracking unit in the response vehicle, the vehicle was recovered with minor damage and all equipment intact. I don't know how brilliant it is when you have to chase a car, all of you, from Milnerton to Kolk Bay.
Well, hey? But also, I mean, like, how you can't be that drunk if you can drive all that way and not write yourself off.
So obviously, we don't know yet if he was drunk or not, but it was presumed. This is why they've put drunk in inverted commas to save himself in the article.
Okay.
But I mean, isn't it amazing how far he got really with all of these people chasing him?
Yeah. Well,
anyway, so
it reminds me of that story of when was it? What's the guy's name? Vuyo from he's now on SABC, I think. But he was busy interviewing somebody, and then they came and took the camera. They held up the cameraman and stole the camera. They're in the live link. You remember that? That's the kind of thing.
Yes, I do.
When that happens, you're just like, no way. This can't be real. And it is. It's real, and it's stupid as fuck, right? Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's all happening. Listen, if this person was drunk, I commend them for driving so well drunk. If they weren't drunk, they're still bloody stupid and irresponsible. I mean, no, it's
very
bad.
Stupid.
It's so bad.
If any vehicle is well tracked, it's going to be a law enforcement or a paramedic or, you know, police vehicle.
Right. Well, the thing that bothers me is, like, leave paramedics to do that. They've got a hard enough job. They're trying to save lives. They're trying to make the world a little bit less dangerous for everyone else. They're taking people to hospital. They're giving them CPR. You know, the first responders, like, they don't need to also worry about their own security. And I've heard stories about how ambulances just won't go to certain places, which is truly horrible, because it means that, you know, there are people in those places that just don't get the service and the care that they require. And that can be very, very dangerous. It can be deadly in some cases. Just a quick correction. Okay. So Airlift, you may remember, is the grocery delivery app that we featured on the show a few months ago. You remember?
Oh, right.
So they're the guys that have gone into liquidation, which is very unfortunate.
Sent us off on a tangent.
I know, but I mean, listen, with all the airlines that have, it wouldn't have been surprising if it was one of them. But there we are. That's the actual story. So someone's just corrected me now. So thank you for that information. But that's Airlift, which was the grocery delivery app, which we featured on the show not so long ago. So unfortunate news from their side.
Well, it was a great idea to, and very much in need at one point.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can attest to it for myself, is that one of my clients in the UK is a grocery delivery service as well. Mm-hmm. And they've now turned to selling plants online and that sort of thing, because the groceries aren't doing that well, you know. But you've got to try to adapt.
I wonder why, because it seems to me like a really sensible way to do things. And for a lot of people, buying groceries is not the most exciting part of their week or month, right, depending on how often you go. And it would make sense to me that people would be using these delivery apps. But maybe also it's been my experience once or twice with one or two of them who will remain nameless, that sometimes when you're looking for something, they don't have it. And if you were if you were in the shop, you would just replace it with something else, you know? But
yeah,
if it's not on the list, it drives you crazy.
With most of them, you can put in a substitute product if you want to.
Yeah.
But it's not 100% foolproof, you know. I do know that, and to mention names, Checkers 6060 is definitely doing well. I went into a Checkers, went into a Checkers recently, and I was almost knocked to the ground by all the 6060 guys running around doing their shopping.
Right. Sure. Well, there's a lot of other stuff we've got to get to and talk about, but we'll get to some of those news stories just now. I've got some headlines to share with you for this morning. We've Dr. Hanan on the way as well. Do you want to start off with a couple of the big news stories from my side? You ready for this, Leanne? Are you sitting comfortably?
Pumped.
All right, good. So the first thing you need to know this morning, and there was quite a lot that happened over the weekend. It was busy. So Cyril Ramaphosa, as I said earlier, the president, is on the ropes. This is a story from the Daily Maverick. He remains calm over Farmgate, which is what they're calling the theft of all of that money from his farm in Limpopo. Of course, everybody knows that this is just a sideshow and a distraction that's been concocted by the supposed RET element in the ANC, the Radical Economic Transformation faction. Although, I mean, they're not interested in radical economic transformation at all. What they're interested is themselves. They're interested in looking after themselves. So that's the only thing we need to know about this. And even though I'm no defender...
It should be called RED, Radical Economic Destruction.
Yeah, correct. I'm no fan of Cyril because he has been, let's just say, uninspiring, lackluster, and as average as it's possible to be in the role of president. He had so many opportunities to grab this country by the scruff of the neck, especially thanks to COVID. And, you know, many other governments all over the world took advantage of that stuff to reform things, to get rid of bad apples, to clear the decks, so to speak. But not Cyril. He didn't. He just sat there thinking everything would be okay. And he made some really uninteresting comments, or not uninteresting. Let's say they were not the most inspired kind of leadership. He was just, you know, he was just peddling along. It's like those people you see who go for a jog in the morning, but, you know, like 2 minutes into the jog, they're just really walking. That's how Cyril is. Anyway, they're baying for blood. The EFF, the UDM, the RET faction have started a Ramaphosa must fall hashtag on social media. I can't really take the RET faction seriously. None of us should. But the public are now getting involved in this because this theft of millions of dollars hidden in a sofa, kid you not, at Cyril's Limpopo game farm, it was all already reaching fever pitch when a delegation of secretaries and chairpersons from all 11 KZN ANC regions descended on Nkandla on Tuesday to confer with and receive wisdom from the former president, Jacob Zuma. Oh, yeah. The saga, which began when Zuma ally and former spy boss Arthur Fraser opened a criminal case against Ramaphosa, caught the ANC and its alliance structures unprepared. The allegations came at a time when the ANC is holding crucial provincial conferences, and it seems that there are going to be a whole lot of very disgruntled members coming to the fore and making it very tough for Cyril to just maintain his position. It was never going to be a shoo-in for him. So much is at stake for Zuma and the Radical Economic Transformation team, the faction inside the ANC. The first salvo is this, obviously, this attack by Arthur Fraser. But there are others lined up, apparently. There are many more attacks that are going to be planned in the next while. So while I'm not jumping for joy that people are starting to see through this stuff and say, well, you know what, this isn't actually about Cyril, which it isn't. It really kind of is. So we'll have to see what happens. But Cyril has defended himself. He says the stolen cash were the proceeds of sales of animals that he breeds on the farm. He did nothing illegal. He has also committed himself to cooperating with investigations and has voluntarily approached the ANC's Integrity Commission to state his case. So I don't know what to make of this. Do you have any idea, apart from what we've already outlined?
You know me. I just want to believe that. I want to believe him. I want to know that this is all above board. I don't like difficult situations. I know that he has not been as flamboyant a leader as we've had before.
Flamboyant,
but
that's
I'm
a
quite
word.
Happy with that.
Okay.
You know, I'm quite happy to just have someone running things and being administrative. I really hope that there's no fire where there's smoke.
Okay, well, there's Leanne with the silver lining conversation. Apparently, Comair can...
The Switzerland.
Yeah, you're pulling the Switzerland card. So the Comair story might not have the worst ending, apparently. The business rescue practitioners at Comair have confirmed that their application for the company to be liquidated will be heard in the South Gauteng High Court on the 14th of June. So that would be tomorrow. Comair opened its low-cost airline Kalula.com, as well as local and regional flights under a British Airways franchise agreement years ago. It's been in business rescue for 2 years, and its business rescue practitioners had to suspend flights at the end of May due to a lack of further funding. On Thursday, they announced they were applying for liquidation. Now, they say that there could be a way out, and there could be some money that gets thrown their way. They say that when the company cannot be returned to solvency or secure a better dividend for creditors than what they would receive in liquidation, then they are dissolved. And that was according to Roxanne Webster, who's a director at the law firm Cliff Decker-Hoffmeyer. In terms of the Companies Act, if at any time during the business rescue proceedings they conclude that there is no longer any reasonable prospect of rescuing the company, then they're obliged to inform the court and affected persons. That would include creditors, employees, trade unions, shareholders. So we'll have to see what happens. But they say there could be a scenario where they could be rescued if there is a potential funder or a solution. It may still materialize, but they say it probably won't if it hasn't happened before this month.
Yeah.
And it's looking unlikely.
If you were like super wealthy, would you at this point rescue an airline?
Nope. Wouldn't want to go into the airline business. Oh no.
Thinking that your one-off deposit is going to save them forever. It's not.
Yeah. No. I wouldn't. I'm no investor. Every investment I've made, I seem to, especially these, whether it's crypto or it's shares, I'm no person to ask. Trust me, stay the hell away from me when it comes to these things. So I have no idea. And I wouldn't buy into an airline. But that's more of a risk-averse situation than an opportunity situation. The PSA has said it fully supports the suspension of Busisiwe Mkhwebane. Apparently, they say that Mkhwebane's conduct had not contributed towards raising the profile of her office, but it rather created unnecessary controversy and reputational damage. So that's the Public Servants Association. They've welcomed the suspension of Busisiwe Mkhwebane. Apparently, they have suspended her with immediate effect on Thursday. That's a day before the Western Cape High Court dismissed her application to stop impeachment proceedings that she's facing in Parliament. The public protector announced that she would start an investigation into the criminal allegations against Ramaphosa relating to the theft of cash on his game farm. It's amazing how quickly she responded to that. But, you know, all the other stuff that's going on, you really have to kick her out of bed and then watch her every step of the way to make sure that she does what she says she's going to do. Not looking good for Busisiwe Mkhwebane. And shame. I don't feel sorry for it all. The PSA's Ruben Maleka said, the PSA and the shop stewards have tremendously suffered, hugely and unfairly, under the leadership of Mkhwebane. Therefore, the PSA welcomes the suspension, believes that the workers' rights, the collective bargaining, and normal representation, and unfair treatment and unfair dismissals will be the end of the public protector. Yeah. Don't let the door hit you on your way out, Busisiwe Mkhwebane. That's all we'll say. And finally, in the headlines, Ricky Rick's Family Values album was taken off all music streaming platforms. Apparently, the family is doing this because they want to deal with the issues of royalties and who owns the music now. So this is from SA Hip Hop Mag. Apparently, the story is that they've taken the albums off, in this case, just this one album. A few months ago, South African hip-hop fans were celebrating the 7th anniversary of Ricky Rick's debut album, Family Values, little knowing that they were bidding farewell to his lone studio album. Apparently, it's been removed from all of these different streaming platforms. Ricky Rick's family, has made the decision to remove all of them from even Apple Music and YouTube. According to OpenView Radio, there are claims that the rapper's family is working on deleting some of the music that is still available online. The radio further revealed that the family has agreed for all of Ricky's music royalties to be shut down along with all the rapper's social media accounts. Wow. They really are closing it all off. His famous album, Family Values, has been removed. And they've deleted his Twitter account as well. And they've agreed for all his music royalties to be shut down. Apparently, his widow, Bianca Naidu, was alleged to have inked a large sleeve tattoo of her late husband's face on her hand 3 months after he died. But that sounds very sad for fans, because that's one way you can keep, you know, the memory of an artist going, is to have their music around. And for many of us, you know, we loved the guy and we loved his music. So I wonder what it's all about. I wonder if it's about money. Because sometimes it is just about money, and then the people who lose are the fans. And I hope that's not the case here, but we will see.
All money right. and control.
Yeah, money and control, absolutely. It is time for It's Going to Be Okay with Dr. Hanan Bushkin. He's a renowned psychologist, also head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg. And we received an anonymous email this week, but let's first welcome Dr. Hanan. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Good. Happy Monday.
Hey. Happy Monday to you, too.
All right, so I've got an anonymous email from one of our listeners, and I know we like these anonymous emails because usually they've got quite juicy stories, but obviously for the people involved, it's not so easy for them to reveal who they are, and there are you know, things that they're worried about. So I'm just going to read it, and you can help us wade through it. So I've been in a relationship with my fiancé for 10 years. We were high school sweethearts. We have a child together. He recently confessed to having cheated multiple times and says it stems from trust issues he developed in past relationships. I mean, they were high school sweethearts, so what past relationships?
Yeah, anyway, how many past relationships?
Where he was cheated on by women he loved. On the two times I caught him, he justified it by saying it's because of me either frustrating him or not being there for him, which pushed him away. So he's blaming her, clearly. I've also cheated in the past, but he claims to have forgiven me, and he says he trusts me. He claims the cheating was never physical. It was just a matter of him needing someone to talk to. This has caused a rift in the relationship. I'm not sure if I can ever trust him again. Can he get over his past securities? How do I trust him again? We were planning a future together since we have a child, and we're willing to work things out. But maybe you can help. So, complicated, right?
Not so much, actually.
Okay.
It's quite simple. You should never use your past as a justification for current or future behavior, especially if the current or future behavior is dysfunctional.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're not a child anymore. You know, when you are 4 years old, you're being dictated to in terms of what to wear and where to go to school and what to eat and who you're going to be friends with and your sleeping routine. But as you move into adulthood, you make choices for yourself. You have the power to control your next move. You're an adult. You can control your behavior. You know, you must understand that we as human beings, we can pretty much justify anything. And we do justify anything.
Yeah.
So we can justify bad behavior just to help us sleep well at night. And so the truth is, I don't buy the idea of my past behavior or my past experiences are making me behave this way. I don't buy it. I don't buy it as an adult, because my question to this particular adult, the husband, is this current behavior working for you? Is it making your life better? There are kids involved.
Yeah.
Is it making the family unit better? And listen, I can justify any behavior. And again, the question is not what has happened, but rather, are you behaving in a way now? Is your personal behavior now functional and serving a great purpose? Remember, I keep on repeating this on the show because it's that important. The difference between children and adults is children judge their behavior based on how they feel.
Right.
So if it feels good, it must be good. And if it feels bad, it must be bad. They use their emotions as a barometer. Adults don't use their emotions as a barometer. Adults judge whether what they should be doing, whether what they're doing is right or wrong based on whether it services a particular goal, not based on feelings. Feelings are irrelevant. So now when he's confronted with all these options, you know, sleeping with other women Being with other women, breaking away from the family trust and the family unit, does it service his goal? And I'm assuming it doesn't. And therefore, it's completely dysfunctional. So to answer, she has the anonymous emailer had two questions. One, can he get over it? Well, the answer is, as an adult, he should be.
Right.
If he matures up, he should be. Of course, there's no reason why he wouldn't, unless there's something functionally wrong with him and he's remaining as a child. Unless that's the case, then of course he can get over it, and he must get over it for the sake of the family. It's not about him, it's about the family. And the second question is, how does she begin to trust again? Well, I see this so often in my practice where these women, or the other way around, these men, but let's just talk about these women. They come into my practice and go, Hanan, my husband is having an affair. He's cheating on me.
Mm-hmm.
How do I begin to trust again? So I say to these women, we'll bring him to therapy so we can have the conversation together. And a lot of the times they're just not prepared to. And my answer is, well, you can't build the trust on your own.
Right.
You just cannot dance this dance on your own. The way you're going to rebuild the trust is through current and future experiences proving to you that you can trust. So if the person keeps on breaking the rules of the game, how do you trust again? So the analogy that I've used before is relationships are like a game, and you've got to define the rules quite clearly. If you and I decide to play chess, and well, that's the rules are pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you imagine you break the rule. You start moving pieces in a way that's not allowed.
Yeah.
Well, how do I begin to trust you again? Well, I can't trust you unless you stop breaking the rules. I can't do this on my own. If you keep on breaking the rules, at the end of the day, I don't want to play with you. So my answer to her is, how does she begin to trust again? Well, she cannot do this by herself. She can't do this on her own. She has to, first of all, there's a couple of things. Number one, he has to acknowledge that what he did was wrong. And the reason why he has to acknowledge that what he did was wrong is one of the eight fundamentals of a romantic relationship is shared values, common and shared values. We both must value that our primary value must be the same. There's a lot of gray areas in relationships, very few black and white values.
Right.
And the black and white we have to share. So first of all, he has to acknowledge that what he did was wrong. Second of all, he has to assure her, one, through language, that's the first thing, that it will never happen again. And three, give it time. Give yourself time talking to the wife. Give yourself time. Give him time to prove himself right. So in other words, if he says, listen, I am trustworthy. You can trust me again. You can rely on me. I am consistent. I am predictable. I am honest. Well, give yourself time to give him time to prove that to you. With time, you'll begin to trust again.
So, Doc, I mean, I'm listening to you, and this sounds a little bit like, if you pardon me being crude about it, it sounds like the Comair liquidation. I mean, either you decide that there's enough in it to save the company, there's a business here that's worth saving, there's something worth putting money into, in the case of a relationship, time, effort, or it isn't, and you just have to dissolve it and liquidate it. Is that a very cold way of looking at it? Because that, to me, you have to approach these things with, as you say, your brain rather than your heart. And people,
yeah.
I know when you say it, it just sends shivers down some people's spines when you say emotion is not what adults should be dealing in. Your feelings are not important in this situation. Apply your mind to it. Think about the advantages, the disadvantages, how much you care, how much you want things to work, what the pluses and the minuses are, and then go for it and put in the work, which is a lot harder. But whenever you and I say, or you usually say, the feelings are irrelevant, I know that there are thousands and thousands of people listening to that going, ugh, that makes me very uncomfortable. Why is that? Why is, because I know why you're saying it. I get it. That's how I like to think. Why is it that so many people, when they hear the words, your feelings are irrelevant, they pack up, they shut down, they don't listen?
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we've been conditioned to by media and movies and people around us who say, follow your heart. You know, what is your heart telling you? What is your destiny? And that removes all of the reality of, hang on, let me just look at the facts here.
Do you think, is that part of it, Doc?
Well, I think, first of all, I mean, what is the, I mean, it will take us probably about 100 episodes to go into what are emotions, how emotions are created. But in a nutshell, emotions, they're not connected to a real divine prophecy or a real divine entity that tells you the truth. Again, I can feel bad, grab a cup of coffee, and within 3 seconds I feel good again. The coffee changed my emotions. That's the truth. I can have a donut and feel really good again.
Exactly.
You know, that's the reality.
Right.
So you feel like having a divorce, grab a cup of coffee, and suddenly you're madly in love. So that's the reality. So emotions are not a true north or a true guide in terms of what you should be doing. And you should never fall in love with your heart first. Never, ever, 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 ever.
Sure.
Because emotions don't highlight what it's going to be like in a year's time or in 2 years' time or in 5 years' time. You don't know. And by the way, people say, well, logic doesn't either. But logic is a much greater predictor of what's going to happen down the line than emotion is, for sure. Now, people will say to me, when it comes to love, should you never fall, should you never feel it? The answer is, of course you should. But head first, heart will follow. Head first, heart will follow. But to your point, Gareth, you know what I believe in terms of the coin theory. Mm-hmm. You know my belief and my philosophy about the coin theory.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know, the coin theory is you wake up every morning and the universe grants you 100 coins, 100 units of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Use it as you wish. Those moments of coins are up, your body goes, good night, and you wake up the next morning with another 100. The problem is when you run out of coins at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and now your body's not tired, but now you're going to be functioning at a deficit.
Yeah.
And then something has to give. Your mental health, your physical health, your awareness, your ability to see opportunities, your ability to face challenges, something has to give. You can't run at a deficit. There has to be a cost somewhere.
Yeah.
And we know we engage with certain people, certain entities, certain things, and we start with 80 coins, and 2 minutes later, we're at zero. We know those people. We know those environments where we're like, oh, my God, I just need a break. And we know the other way around as well. We can start with 20 coins, speak to somebody for 5 minutes, and suddenly we're at 80 coins. Mm-hmm. We know those people too. And I want everybody to be aware of where they invest their coins and be very stingy with where they invest it. So to your point, Gareth, with regards to the marriages, ask yourself, am I getting out more than I'm putting in?
Mm-hmm.
A marriage is not there for any other reason except to make you better. Why would you be with somebody that doesn't make you better?
Yeah, but
it's ridiculous. Rather also, be by yourself.
There seems to be, and I can't help thinking that this compulsion comes from religion, where people feel like suffering has to be a part of the picture. You know, there are a lot of people who build suffering into their relationships. And the reason I'm giving religion a bit of a short end of the stick here is because sacrifice is such an important part of most religion, right? If you don't sacrifice something, you won't get something as a reward. You take the risk, you get the reward. But sacrifice is important because you're delaying gratification so that the future you can do better than the present you. In relationships, I've seen people saying, oh, no, our relationship is really hard. We have to work at it every single day. It's always compromise. It's always we're mostly unhappy, and we don't necessarily get out more than we put in, but that's what it's all about. And it's almost as if they're enjoying the suffering. Now, what do you make of that?
Yeah. You know, they did this research. It's a very famous research. I'll give you the title and the name, but they asked a group of people to go to the doctor. And the doctor would administer two types of treatment, painless treatments and painful treatments.
Okay.
And so the painless treatments were like, well, go home and do some exercise or go home and eat better or go home and get some rest.
Right.
And the painful treatment was the doctor would administer some painful form of maybe administer injections or some form of physical manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked these subjects, a week later, who felt better.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that the people that were administered the painful, even though they were absolute nonsense, the painful treatments, mm-hmm. they felt better because there was suffering involved compared to the painless treatment. Actually, you wouldn't go back to the doctor that says, listen, you don't need anything, just go home and get some rest. Because you think, like, why am I paying this doctor for? But the doctor that massages me or injects me with even nothing, the saline solution, I find a lot more effective, even though it's nothing, just because I feel the suffering. I feel like my body's working my body's suffering through the pain, which is very helpful in inverted commas to your point. So suffering, for some reason, us as human beings, we place a lot of value on it, but for no real reason. Look, to be fair, in relationships, there is compromise. There's no question. There are challenges. There's no question. There are moments of, I need to work with this. There's no question. But should it be sufferable? Never, ever, ever, ever. You know, I always give the analogy. This is important. If you take anything out of today, this is it. When you go to the gym, mm-hmm. and you're lifting heavy weights, there's a big difference between when you're lifting a heavy weight between straining and being injured.
Yes.
Between straining and being injured. You know when you're lifting a heavy weight and you're doing some form of exercise and you feel like it's heavy and your body's straining versus when, oh, I've pulled something. Now, I ask people, how do you know the difference between strain and an injury?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, well, I just know. I just know. If your body just lets you know that this is no longer a strain on my body, this is not an injury. And I say to people in a relationship, it should feel like perhaps you're straining, but never you're injured. Because when it feels like you're injured, the relationship is wrong. Something is broken. You should stop doing the exercise. You should stop doing the exercise and reevaluate the way you're doing things. If you're straining, it's good. It allows you to grow. It allows you to self-develop. It allows you to be better. That's great.
Yeah.
But the moment you're injured, reevaluate your routine in the gym and reevaluate your routine in a relationship.
That's some good advice. And there is nothing noble in suffering. I mean, a lot of people feel like suffering has to be part of everything that they do. It doesn't necessarily. I mean, there's something to be said for compromise. There's something to be said for sacrifice. All of those things are important, but I don't think suffering needs to be built in unless you're a bit of a, what do they call them? The misogynists, right? And not the masochists, masochists.
Isn't it self-flagellation?
Yeah, but I mean, masochism, that's what it is.
There shouldn't be suffering. There shouldn't be any injury in a relationship. You shouldn't suffer. The moment somebody comes into my practice and says, I'm suffering,
yeah.
I'm like, well, you're in trouble. There shouldn't be suffering. There should be a challenge. There should be a strain. There should be compromise. There should be a challenge. There should be a million different synonyms for this is not easy. That's okay. But never, ever, ever suffering. The moment you're suffering in anything, by the way, in a relationship, in a job, at the gym, whenever you're suffering with any activity, you should question whether the activity is right or wrong.
There we go. So that puts paid to a lot of people's theories this morning. I'm sorry if you joined the show this morning thinking that your feelings were going to be relevant or thinking that mm-hmm. suffering was noble, because Dr. Hanan has just disabused you of both of those notions.
Absolutely. It's irrelevant. Your feelings are irrelevant. But we don't have to get emotional about it. It's the truth.
Right.
The feelings are irrelevant. Make decisions based on whether it services the goal.
Mm-hmm.
100%. There are times we'll do a show when feelings are relevant, but for the most part, making a choice for the long term, put your feelings aside and make a decision whether it services the goal.
Spot on. All right, Doc, thank you so much. Those are very, very big and important things we can learn on a Monday morning. First thing, start your week with that, and you can't possibly go wrong. All right, Doc, we'll see you in a week's
time. Nice to see you. See you later.
Very good. By the way, if you have a specific issue that you want to bring up with Dr. Hanan, we can do that for you. You can remain anonymous if you prefer. Just send us an email, contact@cliffcentral.com, and we will not mention your name if you tell us not to, just like anonymous in the case of this email. We've had people who come on and they're happy to talk about their situation. If you want to do that, you're welcome. We would love to hear from you. Give us an email, drop us an email. We'll be sure to put you in contact with Dr. Hanan Bushkin. And really, think about this as like free therapy for me and for you and for everybody else. Your situation may be particular to you, but it may help some other people. Right, Leanne?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the number of times we've had people on here and they bring their thing and then it ends up being useful to someone else as well. It happens all the time.
Yeah. You can always turn it around and apply it to something in your life.
Hmm. And obviously, sometimes it's very difficult to own up and to say, all right, I'm going to deal with this problem. But if you're brave enough to do it, it'll end up being valuable to you. I can guarantee you that. Let us know what's on your mind. Let us know what you're dealing with. We want to hear from you. contact@cliffcentral.com. All right, it's 7 o'clock. When we come back, we've got lots of good stuff for you, including Collectomania. We'll be talking to Maps Maponyane, who we haven't spoken to in ages, about his hat collection and a whole lot more. So some cool and exciting stuff coming up. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com.